Welcome back to Now Showing. I'm Patty Holly. The Allied Arts Council is looking for the most talented people in St. Joseph. Teresa Fankhauser is the executive director of the Allied Arts Council. She says this is the second year for the St. Joe's Got Talent competition.
St. Joe's Got Talent is a competition for amateur artists. They can be singers, dancers, musicians, magicians, to compete for the title of the best of St. Joe. And the way it works is that we will have three tapings in St. Joe where people can come and tape their performance, which will then go online at stjoechannel.com, and people can vote for their favorite talent. And then the top 20 acts, then by top 20 we mean those with the most votes, will perform live on stage at the Missouri Theater on March 1st in front of an audience and judges. And from there we will name the act with who will win the title of St. Joe's Talent.
Is this the first year for this event?
Actually, this is our second year. We did it last year for the first time, and it was very successful. We raised a lot of money for the Arts Fund, and that's where the funds go, is to support the work of nine art agencies in St. Joseph.
Does it work the same way this year as it did last year?
It's actually slightly different. Last year, people were asked just to submit their tape themselves, and what we found is that it was very difficult for a lot of people to do that. So we're trying to make it more inclusive by giving an even playing field, if you will. And so we will have someone there to tape all of the acts.
How do they get their act taped?
All of the rules are on the stjoearts.org website. So you can go there and click on the St. Joe Talent link, which will take you to the St. Joe's Got Talent page, and all of the rules are there. There is a registration form that you can download. It does cost $10 to participate, and that's not per person in a group. That's for the entire act. So it doesn't matter if there's one or 20 in the act. It's just $10. And then they attend one of the audition nights, or one of the, tapings, January 24th at 7 p.m. at Cafe Acoustic. Those who want to do their taping at Cafe Acoustic must be 21 or older. And then on January 26th, we have a taping at Missouri Western State University in Potter Hall. And if you are a dance act, that's where you will need to go, because that's the place that has the space for dancers. But we also will all types of acts are encouraged to tape there as well. It's just that if you are a dance act, you must tape at Missouri Western.
You mentioned earlier that the proceeds from this benefit the Arts Fund.
Mm-hmm.
It sounds like maybe this has a twofold purpose, both, you know, to raise funds for the Arts Fund, but also to promote local talent. Is that the case?
That is exactly the case. We do like to promote local talent, and this was an idea that other communities have done for other types of fundraisers. And so we thought this would be a perfect way to accomplish two goals, raise money for the Arts Fund as well as to give our local talent an opportunity to have their work out in front of the public. And the nice thing is, too, we actually give out two awards at the final on March 1st. We have the Winner's Choice Award, which is actually decided by the audience. They get to vote on who their favorite act is, and then we also will have judges who will determine who their winner is. And the both winners will receive $250 cash award, and then the judges' choice will also have the opportunity to perform at Trails West this summer.
When will we be able to vote online for our
The voting will begin February 1st through February 24th.
That was Executive Director of the Allied Arts Council, Teresa Fankhauser. She says the St. Joe's Got Talent finals competition will be March 1st at the Missouri Theater in downtown St. Joseph. Brass Quintet comes to St. Joseph this weekend. The quintet is one of the longest-standing brass quintets, founded in 1964. Trombonist with the group, Mel Jernigan, says the performance in St. Joseph will include a wide variety of music.
It's a well-rounded concert in which there'll be Renaissance music starting each of the halves of the program, and there'll be three pieces of jazz and one jazz-oriented new piece of music, and lots of fun stuff, Aesop fables and demonstration of the brass instruments. That's really a riot.
What makes the St. Louis Brass unique from other musical organizations?
Well, we try to do the humorous and playful and witty material in addition to playing some new music that's written just in the last 5 years, say, along with some Renaissance music. So we do a well-rounded program. Most of the really well-known brass quintets do one or the other.
Are the trombonist, is that correct?
That's correct.
What can you tell me about your musical experience?
Well, I was with the St. Louis Symphony for many years. In fact, the St. Louis Brass used to be all from the St. Louis Symphony, but over time it changed so that we had players now from all over the country, mostly in university teaching positions, except for myself, and I'm retired.
And what can you tell me about the other members of the St. Louis Brass?
Well, one of them is teaching at UMKC this semester on a temporary appointment, and one is a professor at Yale, another's a professor at Indiana University, and another is a professor at University of Texas in Austin.
Are they members of the St. Louis Symphony?
No, they never were members of the St. Louis Symphony. Eventually, we got so busy with this quintet that our members in the symphony couldn't do it. One at a time, they would bow out, and we would get someone else from the from a nearby university or wherever.
What is it that you like about performing with the St. Louis Brass Quintet?
Well, I like the audience response, and we get it all the way. We do occasionally do some children's programs, some grade school programs, and to see the enthusiasm of the audience, and you really see it in the third and fourth graders, but you see it in adult audiences also, and that's really thrilling for me. It always has been.
Is there a piece in this upcoming concert that you think the audience may be surprised about or may be very enthused to hear?
Yes, it's called a divertimento for brass instruments. We started out with playing on conch shells years ago for children and on short trumpets like were found in King Tut's tomb and all kinds of varieties of brass instruments or semi-brass instruments, animal's horns. And we had an arrangement made in which the arranger used very familiar tunes to demonstrate all these instruments. So that's called the divertimento, and it's near the end of the program, and it's definitely going to be the highlight of the program.
And you will be performing a variety of instruments with that then?
On that particular piece, we will, yes. A trumpet that's the same length as one found in King Tut's tomb, a trombone that isn't wrapped up but is straightened out across the stage. We always like to play pieces that have more than just the brass instruments, and that's why we do Aesop fables on this program. These are really Aesop fables, and we've had the composer write the music behind them. And that adds variety to the program so that it's just not in your face all the time brass playing.
Who is the composer?
Tony Plogue. He wrote lots of things for us. In fact, he used to be in the group for about 10 years, 20 years ago he was in the group.
Is he a Missouri artist or a
musician? No, he isn't. He was from Salt Lake City. And he's been in Germany now for, 20 or 25 years, teaching at a university over there.
That was trombonist for the St. Louis Brass Quintet, Mel Jernigan. The quintet will be performing in St. Joseph this Saturday at 8 o'clock at the Missouri Theater in downtown St. Joseph. Tickets are available at the door or by calling the St. Joseph Performing Arts Office at 816-279-1225. Organizers of the Trails West Festival in St. Joseph are looking for artists to take part in this year's event. Executive Director of the Allied Arts Council, Teresa Fankhauser, says organizers are looking for both fine artists and crafters to participate in the 20th Trails West Festival.
We have openings for approximately 60 artists combined, and we look for a variety of artists. This is a juried art show. So that, we're looking for quality, fine art, and folk art.
So what types of art have we been able to see at Trails West in the past that might be also something we could see this year?
In the, fine art area, photography, pottery, painting, acrylics, sculpture, glasswork. And a wide variety on the painting, everything from oil to watercolor, and then pencil is another very popular art form that is used. We have all types, contemporary art, Western art, a wide mix of subject matter. Just because it's Trails West doesn't mean the art needs to be Western in theme. We're looking for all types of art.
How can an artist submit his work?
They can go to the Trails West page, which is trailswest.org, and click on, if you're a fine artist, click on the fine artist link, and it will take you to the page where you can download the fine art application, and you fill that in, send it in along with digital images of your work.
There's also a competition, is it for a button?
Yes, for our logo design. That is correct.
How does that competition work?
We are looking for the design for this year's logo, which will be used on brochures, T-shirts, any merchandising that we do, the buttons that are the entrance tickets, if you will, to the festival. And this year's theme is celebrating 20 years of arts and entertainment. And we ask that people, again, go to stjoearts.org or trailswest.org and click on Art Competition, and it'll take you to that page with all of the rules and give you some example. Down you'll also see past buttons, so it kind of gives you an idea of the different looks that we've gone for in the past. And they submit their artwork to us by February 3rd, and the winner gets, obviously, their work will be promoted and shown through our artwork and the buttons, as well as they get a $500 fee for being the winning artist.
That was the executive director of the Allied Arts Council in St. Joseph, Teresa Fankhauser. She says the deadline for artists and crafters to submit applications is April 11th. Those chosen to participate will be notified by June 1st. The logo design competition deadline is February 3rd. Application forms for both competitions are available at trailswest.org or by calling 816-233-0231.
I'll have to admit, I'm something of a horror film fan. Must come from all those old Saturday afternoon double features from my wasted youth. You know, The Wolfman, Dracula, The Wolfman Meets Dracula, and on and on. These were all B or B-minus movies, but what the heck, they were about right for kid flicks. One of the favorites of the horror breed is the Satanic film, and the latest is The Devil Inside. Double features are a thing of the past, but the B-horror film lives on. And once in a while, one of these cheaply made films makes a hit. The Blair Witch scored big with a new wrinkle, found footage. The method is a godsend for independent filmmakers with little money for production, allowing them to make movies on a shoestring with cheap equipment and inexpensive actors. Found footage films ask us to believe that the film stock has been found and then put together as a pretend documentary. The Blair Witch is the original found footage movie. We're told at the outset that a group of young people have set out to make a film documentary about the legendary witch and have wandered off into her territory with their cameras, which are never turned off, of course. So we're supposed to assume that what we're seeing is real stuff from pieces of the footage the kids made. This approach was novel enough to get a big audience and spawn a couple of sequels, many imitations, such as Paranormal Activity and its three sequels, Cloverfield, Attack on Los Angeles, and others. The Devil Inside is the latest found footage offering. In this one, we have an opening scene supposedly filmed by a fixed camera in a room where an exorcism for Maria Rossi has gone bad. Three people are splattered, literally, and Maria, the exorcist, sits looking to be in a trance. The next footage follows her daughter, Isabella Rossi, as she travels to Rome, where her mother is held in a church-sponsored asylum. Isabella needs to understand what happened to Maria. Of course, her friend Michael goes along with his video cam. Well, otherwise, no found footage, right? She suspects Maria is still possessed, and she enlists the help of a couple of priests who are interested in exorcism, even though the church prohibits them, without difficulty to get permission. But smooth-talking Isabella persuades the priest to take on the task of rooting the devil out of Maria in an unauthorized exorcism. And so it goes. There's a lot of screaming, thrashing around, and general mayhem during the exorcism, of course, but thankfully, no green pea soup. But we never get any involvement with the characters, and of course, there's little plot. It's a horrible movie. But we're supposed to chalk off its defects to found footage. Terrible cinematography. Well, it's found footage, and we can't expect good film stock and production values, right? The actors are barely good amateurs, but hey, it's found footage. A plot that makes sense? No, because, pause, you guessed it, it's found footage. How does a film like this ever get released? Well, it was cheap to make, of course, for the young indie producers, and Universal Studios picked it up for a song. They have a chance to make money and couldn't lose much, and Universal hit pay dirt. The Devil Inside actually led the box office on the week of its distribution, though, tellingly, it tanked in the second week when word of mouth kicked in. Also, it wasn't up against much competition with new releases on the week it came out. I expect we'll see a lot more films about exorcism and the nefarious doings of the devil. Satan and his minions make perfect villains. But it does seem to me that devils should have more interesting things to do than troll for ordinary people to torment. But anyway, if you like exorcism and satanic films, I suggest renting The Exorcist, a thinking person's horror film, or Angel Heart, by far the scariest of the genre and one of the best made. I'll be generous and give The Devil Inside 1.5 stars out of 5, but I'll probably get suckered into buying a ticket for the next B-minus horror film. Old guilty pleasures die hard.
That was KXCV KRNW movie reviewer Dr. Carol Fry. You can find information and links to the events and organizations you hear about on Now Showing on the KXCV KRNW website, kxcv.org. You can also listen to archived editions of the program by clicking on the Now Showing link on our homepage. Please join us again next Thursday for another edition of Now Showing. In the meantime, have a great weekend. For KXCV KRNW, I'm Patty Hawley.